Good afternoon. I'm Julia. I'm here today to talk about turning cloud nightmares into cost-saving dreams. The cloud cost can be a nightmare, and it's been really hard sometimes to measure how much you paying for your Kubernetes clusters and resources around the Kubernetes environment, and sometimes even in your cloud provider costs in general. And well, we are facing a little bit of boom of FinOps things nowadays that a lot of tech people need to work together, finance, or make a way that's possible to create some reports on it. So that's why I'm going to try to talk here a little bit about how you can use some tool. In this case, I'm going to present the open cost tool. So open cost can be your cost-saving champion. Like open cost is a open source tool, and actually it was created based to bring costs around the Kubernetes resource and Kubernetes environment. But nowadays you can do a little bit more with it. And of course, as it's open source, you always can go ahead and create your own new features or contribute to it. They do have an enterprise version that costs KubeCost. But my focus today is in OpenCost. So it's a really tool that, as I said, was created for the Kubernetes environment, but it can do a little bit more with it if you have a little bit patient and want to do some stuff first manually or even try to automate some script and integrate with it. For example, in how it works, he can collect data from your cloud providers, then process this data, and then you can identify some anomalies, you can do some alerts, they have a really friendly UI that can have different dashboards, can even create some reports on that, and they can really help you for budget tracks and so on. The point is when you have open costs, you really need to have primitives with it, because they use a primitives metric to check the costs, let's say this way. So the thing here is the open costs, you can integrate with different APIs from providers for billing. And then with the primitives part, they can create these tracking these metrics and then generate the costs by for example CPU, memory, etc. But then you can break down to understand for example how much is a pod cost or how much this namespace costs, and you can even create some budgets across teams or across departments if you wanna. And for example, as you need the primitives, this don't mean that you can use other tools for observability. But if you want to use the open cost, you need to iterate the primitives. But the good things that, for example, you can also integrate with your Grafana dashboard, and you can even add some dashboards for your costs. Then, for example, I don't want to use the OpenCast UI for the tech teams, so you can create these dashboards, and you can give the UI from the OpenCast for example, non-techs or FinOps people from your company. The other really nice stuff that you can also integrate with on-prem. The trick here is normally you don't have an API from on-prem on bare metal to integrate with, but you do can, for example, use some prem SQL and use primitives exporter to integrate with this, or you can also create some YAML with the open cost with some cost assumptions that you know how much it's going to cost for some resources, and then he can deal with it and create these costs for you, and also show anomalies and so on. And like, for example, if you wanna after integrate it with other resource that you don't, as I said, like they are really made to Kubernetes, but let's say that, oh, I wanna know how much is a EC2, I wanna know how much is a Route 53, or I'm using Google, I wanna know how much I'm spending, like, I don't know, BigQuery. You can integrate with the API for the billings, and they can also make this trick to show you in dashboards how much you spending. So why it's matter? Because they can really help you like improve your cloud budget, and you have a way that you can compare like past in billings with future billings, so you can also like, for example, do some comparison and probably like say like, and if I add more this resource, or if I add another node, how much this is going to cost? So you can like do this preventions, like let's say, like and take a look on what like, for example, if you have an orphan resource, or if somehow you have more things that you should have, so you can take a look on that. Like the open cost can bring you. You can create alerts, like, for example, I have a budget for $100, and when this is starting to be closed because of the parameters metric, you can create the alerts with it, and they can show you when you're almost there, or and you can like check how optimized or what's going on and so on. So like, for example, because of also these budgets for requesting, you can like create better decisions, and you can save money in your cloud boost. Also, like there is a way also that you can integrate with other different FinOps tools. If they have APIs that can integrate, then you can do integrate with OpenCast as well. What's cool, like if you have something enterprise that you want to have everything in just in one UI, and you want to use the OpenCast UI for it, you can integrate with that. So the dashboard, the overall dashboard, is going to look like this for the Kubernetes environments. So you can like have that data link that you can check like how you would like to see, like I want to see the last 30 days, I want to see right now. You can also do a breakdown, like for example, through namespaces, to pod, to node, and so on. Then also like you can check like some results, then you can check more or less how much this has been costing and the total cost. You have some ways that you can export, that you can create some reports on that, so like can export in CSV. I know that have some also possibilities that you can do that showed in different currency, like for example here is in dollar, and I know that there is a trick that you can like maybe show in euros if you wanna, and they do like some conversion automatically. I never test it, to be honest, but I know that there is something like that. And if you integrate with like other cloud provider, you can also have some dashboards with other type of resource, for example. But imagine that you have like more than one providers, or also on-prem, you do can create some charts that appear everything together. So I can play with, it's pretty nice because of it. And here you can see this part of the currents that I said before. And then, yeah, you can break down in different surveys, you can play around and do different ways that can show up what we're looking for. The also really nice thing that happened, that as you really need the parameters, you can do parametrical queries with everything regarding your cost, so you can do really nice queries, and you can also create some exports, or can add different types of utilization of it, and do some exports in different ways to create like better reports. In my opinion, what I really like for this, because open source, and if you have time to contribute and to do something that is really specific for what you need, you're able to. But also, like all this integration that's popping up, that you can integrate with different clouds, that you can do some cost. Like for example, I know more or less how much I'm paying for, I don't know, a Route 53. So I'm going to integrate this with my API and put more or less what I'm spending on that, and they can bring you some optimizations on that. Time to time, they can also bring you some ways that you can say like, hey, you could change this or that. Like, for example, any cloud providers, you kind of have these recommendations. OpenCost also can bring you recommendations, but also focus that you're not going to lose your performance. These recommendations really more worth it, let's say, right, in the Kubernetes environments, let's say, right. I never checked this on the cross cloud providers resource, but for the Kubernetes workloads, they do bring some nice recommendations, and it's pretty cool. And well, as I said, you can really check how much you paying, where you really paying things. Like you can see, like for example, I have an orphan resource, or I may be using this node, but I should downsize it. So it's pretty interesting this, that sometimes we don't have or the time or the really visibility on that. So with OpenCost, it can bring you that and make you save money. So the conclusion is like you can take full control on your cloud spending, can improve resource, regarding downsize or like scalability in general. You can bring for different approaches for different cloud providers, can integrate with other FinOps tools or other tools as well if you wanna, that have an API that can integrate. It's really easy to do it. I have these stuff regarding the parameters that are really, I know that I repeat this a lot, but it's really, really cool to be able to do queries with that. I can play around with different charts, with different dashboards, have a really cool report on that. And if you just want something that's really going to be, let's say, trustful on the Kubernetes workload in general, this tool is pretty cool. It's really made for it. The other things regarding the cloud providers is it's something that's growing now, like the community is working more on it, but like they're really strong on the Kubernetes part. So, and I think that's why I'm speaking, I'm doing this talk in the Kubernetes room. And guys, that's it. This is my QR code from go straight to my LinkedIn, and can contact me there. Or if you have any question, please go ahead. Oh, sorry.
How does this compare with
KubeCost
instead?
Well, KubeCost, I will say that is more like a enterprise version of OpenCost. So if you're using KubeCost, you're going to have a support. They have other integrations that probably in the OpenCost don't have. I never use KubeCost, to be honest, so I don't really know the straightforward comparison, but it's an enterprise version of it, so you can have support, have some easy ways to integrate other tools that you don't need to do like yourself, let's say this way. But it's mainly a pay version of. I don't know exactly why they changed the name, like the enterprise one is KubeCost. It's actually, I think the KubeCost used behind the scenes, the OpenCost, and if I'm not sure, I have another two that is using also under the, like in, under the scenes, the OpenCost, but that's why I think they have another name. Sorry, this is just my Google, it's just because I should maintain my LinkedIn care code there and I take it out.
Yeah, it's possible for you to follow the cost of Kubernetes resources that use also resources from two different cloud providers.
Yes, yes. Yeah, because like, for example, you can integrate the APIs for different cloud provider. I know that like for AWS, Google and Azure, it's really easy, this integration. I test with all of them. But I'm pretty sure that like if you're using like a DigitalOcean or Oracle Cloud, they also have some APIs for the billings or like some Cost Explorer, I don't know the name of these tools on there. But then you can integrate with them, and then you can add their let's say that your clusters on the OpenCost integrated with this, and then you can check in this dashboard that I show you that I point. I'm so sorry for this. You can have it. I think my internet's gone. You can like, for example, when we integrate, you can make some dashboards saying like, oh, I have AWS, so I have GCP, and then you click on that, and then bring like the cost for your clusters in the different providers. And for example, if you have like a bare metal or an on-prem, you can, then this integration, as there is no API for that, you need to do like some way manually, like, or create an AMO for have this cost, or maybe like doing some exporter with the Prometheus metrics, and then you can create some dashboards with all the views that you want with remote cloud environments. Any more questions? My internet really died. No. So that's it. Thank you again.